Now to get things started, here's the host of Jaguars Thursday, J.P. Shadrick.
Welcome in, Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman in Jacksonville. Tony Boselli with us tonight from Tampa Bay, Raymond James Stadium, where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will host the New England Patriots on Thursday Night Football. The Jags get the Steelers this Sunday in Pittsburgh. We'll break down the game coming up. We'll pick some games in Week 5. We'll go around the National Football League as well. Tony, how is the best pregame food spread in the NFL? Oh, Tony's not with us yet.
I'm here.
All right, so
first question, worry about me. I'm here.
First question was, how is the best food spread pregame in the NFL tonight?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I've only been able to nibble, and what I got was very good. They were a little bit late bringing it out. Now, the quality, I got a little steak tri-tips. It was outstanding. Some chicken piccata. Nice salad. I mean, they got the whole thing here. But the carving station is not up yet, and so I'm going to have to wait for that.
They're off a game down there, Raymond James.
Oh, it's tough. It's not the same. I mean, it's a struggle right now. The struggle is real.
Indeed it is.
Yeah, they're one of the best now.
They are the best, in my opinion.
New York,
really good.
New York always has good press box food. Okay. Tampa Bay has.
I like this place.
No. Tampa's the best.
Over the top.
I mean, they're like the standard bearer for press box food. Who else is good, Tony? What do you think, Joe?
I
like Baltimore. Joe, you got to chime in on this.
Atlanta has stepped up their game.
With the new stadium.
Atlanta was outstanding.
Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Detroit. Detroit is very good.
Okay.
The Cowboys Stadium is very good, too.
Philadelphia, don't they have cheesesteaks?
They have cheesesteaks.
Okay, that's positive.
The crab is very good.
Baltimore?
Only on special occasions. They don't have crab every time anymore.
Not every time.
Philly is great because they have great soft pretzels at halftime. Mm-hmm. Outstanding.
Mm-hmm. Who has the Good Humor ice cream? New York, right?
They don't anymore, though. They stopped that.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, you're kidding me.
But Detroit has ice cream.
Okay. Who has the bananas Foster?
That's where I am tonight.
That's Tampa. Oh, Boselli will be tearing it up.
Yep. It's going to be a long night, even before the game begins down in Tampa for you, Tony. Hey, we were talking on the Doug Marrone Show just a moment ago, Tony, about Ben Roethlisberger. He's been in the league since 2004. There were reports in the offseason that he was thinking about retiring. He came back. His numbers are down. The offense is not quite in sync yet in Pittsburgh. They're 3-1. But what do you make of that? Is he 1 foot out? Is he in? What's the deal with Big Ben?
I heard Jeff talking, and I agree with him. I don't know if it's because of the retirement talk, but he doesn't look the same. And I told Jeff before the week before, watching that Chicago game, he was off. I mean, not even close. Missing guys wide open, sailing it high, deep balls. Was not the same in the pocket. I haven't watched this past game yet. I imagine, listening to Jeff's comments, probably similar.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not the same guy that we've seen in the past.
No, he's not. And when Tony was telling me that, I was thinking, okay, well, he's just probably off trying to find his rhythm and all that. But, you know, then when I watched the Baltimore game, you watch the feet. And, Tony, much like we kind of had the opinion that after the Jaguars game against the New York Jets when Jamal Adams made that, you know, very good hit on Blake Bortles, you know, that's a good clean hit.
Yeah.
And then we saw Blake's feet kind of get unsettled in the pocket. I saw the same thing with Ben Roethlisberger this past week against the Ravens.
Surprising. Yeah, I agree. I thought it was in Chicago as well, Jeff. He's not setting his feet. And not making the throws that we're used to seeing him make.
And Tony, do you remember one play in the Chicago game or the Baltimore game? Because I can't remember it, to where Ben did the Ben thing, you know, spinning out of the pocket, running outside the pocket, looking downfield and throwing a ball.
No.
Me either. Not one. Two games, not one classic Big Ben type
scramble
of play.
Scramble kind of move.
Or just evading somebody in the pocket, you know, and then extending the play and then throwing the ball down the field. Not one instance do I remember Ben Roethlisberger doing that in the last two games. Not one.
If the Jaguars can stop the run this week, that sets up well then for the pass rush, right? If he's not going to move like he used to do, I guess, right?
I think it does. And Tony, I don't know about you, but I think Villanueva, the left tackle, I think Ngakoue can get him.
Yeah, I think because he's a leaner.
Yep.
And if you're a leaner, then you're going to have trouble against the what do you call that, Jeff? A jump?
It's like a jump chop.
A jump chop? Yeah, I mean.
And he gives the arms up. Villanueva gives the arms up.
You know who the move that he, the Ngakoue moves reminds me of a little bit? Trent Cole. The old Trent Cole move that he, with the Philadelphia Eagles. He had a similar chop, kind of jump chop move.
When you say jump chop, explain it to our listeners.
Well, if Ngakoue is a, you know, he's a right defensive end for the most part when he's in nickel sub situation.
Against the left tackle.
And so if you're thinking the left tackle when he sets off and he's got two arms out, okay, and he's trying to stop Ngakoue, Ngakoue kind of takes a path either right at the offensive lineman or slightly to the inside to get the offensive lineman to shorten the corner just a little bit and also to get prepared just in case he's going to bull rush. And when the arms come out and Ngakoue gets close, he literally is low, coming in looking like a bull or an inside move, and then he plants his left foot and then takes his left arm, chops the outside arm of the tackle down, and then hops out, and then immediately gets his feet back underneath of and comes it back into a rip and in his corner in the edge.
And he's around the tackle at that point.
And it's a very fluid move. The timeliness of it is very good. It's a move that he can set it up with bull rush, with inside moves. But it's also a move, even if the offensive tackle knows it's coming, just like Kelvin Beachum did, it's difficult to stop if it's timed up right. And he's got excellent timing on that move.
That's why you don't ever give your outside the outside hand in that to a guy like Ngakoue, only inside hand, because if you give that outside hand and arm like we talked about, Jeff, you're dead man walking.
Yeah, because if he knocks your outside arm down, and on top of that, it's just not the chop. I mean, look, he's got the great ability once he gets his feet back under him after that, even if he sometimes misses the chop. He's got a great ability to bend his hips and his knees and open that left foot towards the quarterback in what we call bend it. You know, it's not bend it like Beckham in soccer. It's bend the body on that circle route that you have to get to the quarterback. And a lot of guys just don't have the hips. A lot of guys don't have the ability to bend the knees to do that. And he has that ability. He's got great hip flexibility and great bend.
Been a while for David Beckham. That's you pulling one out of the history.
Well, Jeff's a well-rounded guy. Yeah. You know, we've gone to London for a while now. He's very well-rounded in the English football vernacular.
Okay, let me tell you this. Okay, it's David Beckham, right?
Yes, it is, Jeff.
I have no idea. Was he a striker, a forward, or I'm assuming he was probably a guy that scored goals? Right?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, was that
lots of them? Yes.
What do you know the position there,
no,
JP?
I did not.
Striker.
Tony for the win.
I don't know that. JP, you better start learning
better
pretty quickly
up,
there,
yeah,
buddy.
No doubt.
Yeah, I don't know if that's – I'm just saying it because no one else knows, so I'll just say it with authority and be right.
And you were. We were gonna buy that. There you are. Right answer. So this Jags football team, 2-2, inconsistent, but tied for first place in the AFC South. Obviously,
Can we stop saying that, please?
No,
stop
we
saying
can't,
that.
Tony. No.
Stop saying it.
They're tied
it's
for
too
first.
Too early. It doesn't matter. No.
I don't care.
If you were 4-0, you can say that. When you're 2-2, you're an average team. I thought, you know, it was funny getting ready for this game tonight, reading Tom Brady's comments. He said, we're 2-2. It's an average team. It's where we are. And so I say that. If you're 2-2, that's what you are. And so I think it's now it doesn't do anything. Start talking about division lead and all this. Just go win a football game this week. Go find a way to win a game that no one thinks you can because you lost one that you should have and everyone thought you were going to. Kind of even it out, get to 3-2, and then we'll talk and go from there.
I will say I was accurate, though. They are tied for first place.
No, you are. No, you're accurate. I'm not.
Thank you.
Isn't a comment. This isn't a comment about you, JP. It's just my point of saying that is I don't think it's relevant at this time.
You still can't take the player out of Baselli because, see, he's already game-planning how to block Ngakoue. He's going to hide his left hand, okay? And Baselli's saying, we got to stop talking about the division stuff.
Right.
Okay, we just need to go win a football game.
The weak league.
Yeah.
Right. Of course.
Oh, Jeff, it's so hard. I don't know if you do this, but I will be watching tape. Like, I was watching tape today and watching this, you know, the Bucks defensive line is no good. It's not very good right now. They only have one sack in three games.
What? For real?
Yeah, one sack. One sack in three games. Only four quarterback hits the last 2 weeks in total.
Whoa.
And
what's Smitty doing to him?
He's going crazy. I saw him before the game.
Who's their D-line coach?
Oh, gosh. He was at Cincinnati for all those years. Let me look. I know him.
Oh, Hayes? Hayes?
Yes, Hayes.
Okay.
Yes.
I got you.
And but as I watch the tape, I'm sitting there thinking, what would I do? Where's the weakness? You know, on both sides, offensive line, defensive line. And I don't know about you, but I think once – from a player's perspective, when you're a player and you watch so much film your entire life with that in mind, I have a hard time not watching defensive linemen and game planning how I'd block them.
That's funny. We'll be talking about defensive linemen in the league, you know, and I'm like, man, Tony, that guy's really got it. I mean, look, anybody can block them. All they got to do is if they would just soft set them, or if they would jump them, or if they would do this. And I'm going, look, I don't care how to block them. I just want to talk to you about, what do you think he's good or he's not good?
Yeah, they're good.
Well, to Tony, they're not good.
No, they are good. No, that's not true at all. It's like we used to talk about J.J. Watt all the time. He was one of the greatest defensive linemen ever. And but half the time I'd tell Jeff, I'm like, this is how I'd block him. This is what I think. There's where his weak. And Jeff's like, what are you talking about? No one cares.
In the game, we go to commercial break, and so why are they worried about J.J.'s power? He's a finesse guy. Sit him soft. Don't duck your head.
It's true. I apologize. I can't help it.
Love it.
No. I it's like Ngakoue. I told Jeff this. I would have a game plan. I mean, I know how I'd block him. He'd be a tough matchup. He's a heck of a pass rusher because Jeff's right. Even if you know what's coming, if you get caught leaning at all, he's going to beat you. And so I have a ton of respect for Ngakoue. He is a heck of a player. And I think he's only going to get better as he gets older and stronger. If he gets just a little more power, that jump chop will even become more difficult to defend. He's stronger this year than he was last year, and he's just going to keep on getting better. He's a lot of fun to watch.
I was telling and sharing this story with Tony on a plane ride back, because, you know, we were talking about the Beecham and the Yannick Ngakoue matchup. And look, Beecham knew what was coming. I mean, he spent all last year here with the Jaguars. I mean, he got to see Ngakoue all the time. He got to face him in practice and see the move. So he knew what was coming. I told Tony a story that when I was with the New York Jets, and we had Dennis Byrd, who, you know, Ngakoue broke the Jaguars' rookie sack record last year. He had 8 sacks. Well, Dennis Byrd broke, I think it was Joe Klecko's sack record, rookie sack record, his rookie year, our rookie year, with the Jets. And he had a patented move that was similar to Ngakoue's, but it wasn't quite the same. He literally chopped both arms and then grabbed cloth and then swam. And sometimes he grabbed cloth, sometimes he didn't, but he was so fluid and so quick to drop the hips, you know, he broke the record. Yeah. You know, and he was a double-digit sack guy for a couple years after that, obviously prior to the injury, and then last year he passed on. But I told Tony this. Dennis had that move, and I remember after practice, because, you know, I wanted to learn how to try to incorporate that move into my game somehow. And so I said, look, let me try to block it, because, look, I can block it. I know what you're going to do. I can block it. If guys just hide their hands, then you can be blocked. And I'm telling you, and this is God's honest truth, he put that pass rush move, and I think we did it like 10 times, and I finally had to wave the white flag. And I had to wave the white flag because when he would chop my arms, he was bruising up my forearms like nobody had ever seen before. And I can tell you, I had never had success blocking him, not once. Couldn't do it. His chop was so perfectly timed. Even if you knew it was coming and you tried to hide your hands and then shoot him, didn't work. He'd get him. And my forearm from those chops.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, they hurt.
Sure. Hey, by the way, I got a tweet from Stefalos Prime in the UK. Beckham was a midfielder.
Okay, thank you.
So thanks. We appreciate that.
I always like to be educated.
Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blandy. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. The Jags O-line has a test this week. We'll see how they've done so far and see how they fare this week against the Steelers. When we come back, it's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman in Jacksonville. Tony Boselli, pride of the Jaguars left tackle, is in Tampa at Raymond James Stadium for Thursday Night Football. He's on the Westwood One call tonight. Jaguars offensive line. They've allowed 3 sacks this year. They've got the run game going a little bit. Tony, what's your opinion of this group so far through 4 games? And what's the matchup like this week against a good front and a good front 7 for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
It's a tough matchup because the Steelers are good. And Ryan Shazier is playing as good a football as there is in the NFL at linebacker right now. He is a really good player. And they got a very good front 7. You got T.J. Watt, the rookie, who had the big opening weekend but continues to make plays and cause a lot of problems for opposing offenses. But this unit's played well. Yeah, they've done a nice job. They really have. I mean, they rushed for 170-plus yards last week. Again, low sack totals that we've talked about. The reality is, though, until they get a better passing game, it's going to be sledding uphill with that run game. It's going to be continue to be hard. And that's why I give them so much credit, because they've found a way to do it. But ultimately, for this offense to be effective, they got to throw the ball better. They got to win outside, and the quarterback's got to play better.
All right, Tony, I totally agree with you about Ryan Shazier. He's unbelievable. In fact, Cameron Hayward got the AFC Defensive Player of the Week award. And he had 2 sacks, a forced fumble, and fumble recovery. Yeah, and I thought you could have made the argument that Ryan Shazier was the one who should have gotten the AFC Defensive Player of the Week, because he had 11 tackles, a tackle for loss, interception, 3 pass defense. He was lights out.
And he plays it every week.
And he plays at a speed. Hey, he's faster than Telvin Smith.
Yeah.
Which there's not many.
And by the way, he's bigger, too.
Is he really? Yeah, he's a 230-pounder. Yeah. Right, but my question to you, Tony, is because watching the tape with the Ravens and Chicago, with both teams, their offenses. So the Ravens' offense, the Bears' offense.
Yeah.
There always seems to be guys – when you face Pittsburgh, the guys that are free coming after the quarterback, or guys that are free that are coming in for the run game. And I just remember going back to, you know, our playing days and facing the Pittsburgh Steelers, because the defense really hasn't changed much in all these years. What is it that they do that makes it difficult to identify who to block, and how come those free rushers end up happening?
Well, because they're going to bring them from the secondary level, Jeff. It's not just the linebackers. Number one, they're that 3-4, so they're always going to bring at least 4. You're not sure which 4 they're going to bring. The 5th guy might be an inside linebacker, like Shazier, or it could be one of their secondary guys. They do a lot of shark, which is the strong safety down at the line of scrimmage. And if you know, for a long time it was Troy Polamalu years ago, but they continue to do that. And they just give you multiple looks in every situation, and you got to do a great job of IDing it and really being smart at the line of scrimmage pre-snap. It's one of the reasons I always thought, and we had some big days against them running the ball once we got to more zone schemes. And because you just get on your track and start blocking them as they show up. And if you can stay on blocks, there's opportunities there. And I think, you know, if you watch that Chicago game, Jeff, they had a lot of success running the ball, the Bears did. And a lot of it was the outside stretch. And they did a really good job of pressing the front side and then hitting, you know, planting that outside foot and getting north and south at the first seam they found. So I think there's some opportunities in the run game. If you stay on your block, stay on your pass and ID what comes at you. In the pass game, you're really going to have to be a lot of communicating. A lot of it goes to the quarterback. I remember when we played, it was very important to get the right protection, the right slide, ID the mic, and making sure everyone's on the same page. Because if you are, it's not like they're bringing more than you can pick up most of the time. They're just overloading a side. A lot of times they'll bring 4 a week and do stuff like that. And so if you can ID it and pick it up, there's opportunities down the field.
There was an example I'm going to be showing on film room Friday tomorrow against the Ravens, to where four of the Ravens offensive linemen ended up blocking two of the Pittsburgh Steelers rushers. And then there were the right tackle and the tight end, Ben Watson, were left to block, I believe it was Cameron Hayward and Bud Dupree.
So yeah, that's not really fair.
Yes, somehow or another, you know, the Steelers' defense got them screwed up, and that wasn't the obvious optimum situation. Now, here's my other question to you, Tony. And we had talked about this on the plane ride back. And you had mentioned that the Bears running zone scheme, you talked about the Jaguars back in the day running zone schemes and blocking guys as they show up. The Jaguars don't run a lot of zone schemes with Leonard Fournette, whether it be inside zone or outside zone. Why not?
Well, I think, Jeff, it's a great question, and not obviously being in those meeting rooms and talking, but they, for whatever reason, have determined that they like the power game, the gap scheme with Leonard Fournette, and letting him get more downhill. And you've seen some of the bigger inside zone runs coming from Chris Ivory. I'm not sure why, because I, you know, go back to watching, you know, LSU when Leonard Fournette was in college, he could do either one. And I think that, you know, and Doug talked about it this week about the number of touches, and everyone wants Leonard to get more touches. I guess my point is you have to limit how many touches you get. I don't like the flow of how they give him the touches. I think you should give him a series or two series in a row and let him get in a flow of the game. I think all great backs get better the more carries the more consecutive carries they get. And my criticism would be not as much of whether they call zone or gap or whatever, but let Fournette stay in there for a series of 10 plays or whatever it is, and let him get in a rhythm. And then the same for Chris Ivory. I think they're moving him in and out too much. I think it hurts a good back and a young back. I think I would like to see him getting more of a rhythm.
Yeah, well. We'll see if they can.
I'm just, you know, the reason I ask about the zone plays, because, you know, what's the longest run for Fournette this year? 17 yards.
Yeah.
You know, and the zone plays typically, and maybe I'm wrong, but at least I feel that those zone plays are the ones that have the bigger plays in them.
Well, those are the big plays that we saw the Jets run. I mean, it was inside zone. I mean, they hit them backside. And you're right from the standpoint, if a defense does not do a good job on the backside of with their gap integrity against inside zone, there are gaping holes. And that's what we saw against the Jaguars defense. And those were the big plays. So you're right about that, Jeff. The other thing, though, where you're going to get some more big plays, you have to look at who's making the tackles a lot of times. The guys making the tackles are all secondary players because they're doing a good job, and Fournette does a good job of getting through. And maybe that changes a little bit if you can open up the passing game a little bit and soften those guys up and let him get some space before he gets to the secondary.
Yeah, we all agree with that, you know. And, I mean, look, Blake Bortles has to be better. The receivers have to be better, you know. And the argument is, okay, the offensive line has to be better. And I know Doug Marone made that comment.
I think they're pretty good.
And I was just sitting there thinking at the time. I was like, you know what, they're doing pretty good. I think the receivers need to do better, certainly, and Blake Bortles needs to make them do better. You know, if he puts the ball in an area that's, you know, the only being caught by the wide receiver, et cetera, look, then it makes them better. So,
you know, the question I'd like to ask, Jeff, and maybe you have and know the answer to this, is it harder for a receiver to catch a ball that is wobbling and moving the way most of Blake's passes are? Is it easier to catch those tight spirals?
No, it's easier to catch a spiral. I mean,
I would think so. I mean, I think so too. But I'd love to hear from Keenan McCardell or one of the receivers. You know, and they don't want to sell out Blake, and I get that. But I'd love to hear an honest, like, is it a hard ball to catch? I don't know. It is. I've never obviously caught a ball in the NFL, and it was a long time since I caught a football in competition. So that's something that I'm going to ask around and see kind of if that makes – how big a difference that makes.
They didn't run the tackle eligible here with you, Tony?
No.
No, because you – Tony, you know, you always wonder because, you know, you hear people talk about, boy, he throws a really catchable ball. What's the definition of
what
a catchable –
What does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Yeah, I want to know. We say a lot of things, Jeff, that I don't think people, like, I think sometimes the media is guilty of saying things, but they really don't know what it means.
Well, we need to do a little research. What is a catchable ball?
Yep.
And what, if any thing that about Blake's ball, is it more difficult to catch?
I don't know. Interesting. Hey, by the way, before we get to, go ahead, Tony. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I want to make sure. I'm not taking the receivers off the hook. You're in the NFL. Catch a dang ball. I mean, there's no excuse. I don't. If it hits your hands and you're getting paid on Sundays to play that position, you catch it.
By the way, before we finish this segment here, I want to go back to April 20th, the week before the draft this year. We did a Jaguars Thursday mock draft. Do you remember the first round?
Yeah.
Guess who picked T.J. Watt to the Steelers?
You did.
Yes, I did. And I got mocked for it on the mock draft night. Well, so just for the record, I was right.
I was one.
I wanted to bring that back up.
Again. I didn't think. Well, what overall pick was he?
30th. Hey, I nailed it. Did my research. Nailed it.
You did not do your research. That's
nailed
a lie.
It, Tony.
You guessed. And
they needed a linebacker. What do you want? It's a 3-4.
It's a good guess. I can't take it away from you. Yeah, you were right. We were wrong. But let's not get too excited about you being any kind of draft genius or anything.
JP is now a draft nick.
I took a lot of – no, I am not a draft nick. I took a lot of flack from you guys, though. I'll tell you that.
We'll call you JP Kuiper. JP Kuiper.
Great. I'll bash Loggeman after the pick.
Sure, go right ahead.
Why not? He did, too. Let's come back. We'll preview the Thursday night football game, Tony, at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. And we'll make some picks where I'll dominate you guys again. PRI Productions, the official event production company of the Jags, has everything you need to bring your next idea to life. Visit PRIProductions.com. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli. Hey, guys, get ready. Saturday, 1 o'clock on CBS 47, The Making of the Roar 2017 debuts.
All right.
Check it out. It'll be archived on Jaguars.com. Max Hockman worked his tail off for it. And we had a great time putting it together. So we've wrapped it up today. It'll be on the air Saturday on Jaguars TV.
I think Max enjoyed that.
I think we all enjoyed that. And you will all enjoy it on Saturday at 1 o'clock.
He's smiling over there.
Look
at him. First time I've seen Max smile in a while.
Yeah. So, Thursday night football tonight. Tony is in Tampa at Raymond James Stadium for the Buccaneers.
They're cheering for him.
They are. Yeah, they heard his name. Yeah. The Buccaneers and the Patriots.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Sorry. A lot of people are cheering right now.
Patriots are 2-2. Buccaneers are 2-1. They missed one of the games early because of the hurricane. So is this a Patriots bounce back kind of week, or are the Buccaneers going to move to 3-1, Tony? What do you think?
Well, it's going to be interesting. No Rob Gronkowski, late addition to the injury report just yesterday with a thigh, and then 30 minutes before the inactives came out, it was reported that he's not going to suit tonight, and the inactive just came out, and he is not playing. And so that's going to be interesting. The reality is there's no problems, though, on offense. Tom Brady is as good as he's ever been at 40. They have the number one offense in yards, number two in points, and they're humming along. The issue is their defense is the worst in the league.
The defense so, is who we thought they were when we saw them in the summer.
That's exactly right. So the big question is tonight, you have two defenses, I think, that passing yards-wise are 32nd and 31st in the league. And so I think there's going to be a lot of points. And when there's a shootout, I always put my money on Tom Brady. And I think it's going to be a close game. I think there's going to be going up and down the field. But I just, if I'm picking between Jameis and Brady, I'm going to go Brady.
What's going on with the cornerbacks of the New England Patriots? You know, they went out in free agency and obviously spent a lot of money to sign. What's the guys from Buffalo?
Stephon Gilmore.
They've got Malcolm Butler. Malcolm Butler was taken out of the lineup. I don't even know if he's back in the lineup. What's going on with those guys?
So he's back starting. It was so bad in the first half last week, the Stephon Gilmore got benched at halftime.
Wow.
The problem was the guy who came in for him, Rowe, got hurt the first play, so Gilmore came back in. It's communication. They are leaving guys running down the field wide open and talking to the people – within the Patriots organization, they say it's all Gilmore. He's a guy who played a lot of man his career. He's outstanding in man coverage. The Patriots play a lot of different zones, and they change coverages based on the formation. If they get bunched, how they line up, they could be a little bit complex as far as from a communication standpoint, and it's not going well. It's not going well. It started opening night, Jeff, against the Chiefs. Tyreek Hill busted that game open when he was streaking down the sideline with no one covering him. And you turn on the tape last week, and the Panthers had one big play after another of guys wide open, not being covered. They're on pace right now. Last year they gave up 44 plays of over 20 yards. They're on pace to give up 76 big plays on defense. They are bad.
So is it all on Gilmore?
As far as the communication, yes. But watching the tape, Malcolm Butler is getting beat at a high high pace regularly.
Yeah, and he's been pretty good. I don't get that.
Very good. They were fortunate last week that Cam Newton missed two deep balls. One he didn't see, one he just missed throw on the throw because Malcolm Butler was beat and beat bad.
All right, there you have it. Preview of tonight's Thursday night football game. That means it's time to get to last week's results of our picks. We start off with Tony Boselli, 8-8 last week. Jeff Lagerman, 9-7 a week ago. And J.P. Shadrick, 11-5 a week ago. Dominant again.
Is somebody double-checking JP's numbers with the picks? And I have a feeling he's fudging.
And for the season, it's getting ugly, guys, to be quite honest. I'm 44-19. Boselli's 38-25. Logs, you're 33-30. So, got some work to do. So, let's start. Tony, you have New England, you just said, and I'm with you. New England tonight.
No, I'm taking the Bucks. I need to get one.
Okay. Let's get to Sunday now. The Bills at 3-1 early in Cincinnati against the Bengals.
Bills at Cincinnati?
Yes.
I'm taking Cincinnati.
Are you really?
Even though the Bills have beaten two fine football teams.
Yeah, I'm taking Buffalo. Tony?
Yeah, I like the Bills.
Okay.
Hang on. See, if you want to get one, that's the one. You take the Bill. Take the Bengals.
Yeah.
You don't take the Bucks over New England.
Why not?
It's Tom Brady, man. That's why.
So?
Why not?
They lost twice this year.
Yeah.
I talked to Smitty before the game, Jeff.
Yeah.
And I said, Smitty, what are you going to do to a pass rush? He says, well, you either can die a fast death or a slow death. We're going to try the slow death and make him earn it.
Yeah.
Wow. That's right.
Wow. So they're going to play zone. They're going to play zone and come up and tackle.
And I believe that Mike Smith was the defensive coordinator here when Tom Brady set
33 for 35.
Set the completion percentage in a game record. Can I change my pick there?
You can, yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
Let me take the Patriots.
Yeah,
I forgot
we
about
talked
that.
You into it. Great. There you go. Okay, Jets at 2-2 at the Browns 0-4. Jets for me.
I'm going to take the Browns.
Really?
No. I'm going to take the Jets.
Okay. Tony?
Can't do it.
Where is the game?
Cleveland.
I got Browns.
At home. First win.
Yeah. That's
Panthers and Cam Newton, distracted Cam Newton this week against the Lions in Detroit.
I'm taking the Lions.
I like the Lions as well.
I think that's everybody across the board.
Oh,
Lions.
Scared, JP.
49ers at the Colts. What a game it's going to be in Indy. I'll take the Niners on the road. Why not?
Go ahead, Tony.
I don't know. Flip a coin.
Yeah.
I'll go Colts.
Okay, Indy at home.
Who do you have, JP?
San Francisco.
All right, I'm going to take the Colts with Tony.
Okay, you need to. The Titans and the Dolphins in Miami.
I'm taking the Titans.
First game of Miami for a long time.
Jake Cutler's so bad.
Why don't you? Yeah, you take the Dolphins. I'm going to take the Titans. Come on, JP. Go out on a limb. Do something special.
Miami at home. First home game, true home game
you're
of the year for
it?
Miami. Absolutely.
Okay,
let's
good.
Go. You guys
good.
Got Tennessee, right?
Okay. Yes, we do.
You're all going to lose. Chargers, Giants. Both teams 0-4. This is in New York.
Chargers. The Giants are atrocious.
Yeah, I'm going L.A., the Chargers. Almost said San Diego.
I'm taking the San Diego Chargers.
You are. Cardinals, Eagles, and Philly. Good game.
Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly, Joe.
Fly, Eagles, fly at home. Seahawks against the Rams in L.A. at the Coliseum. Mm. Rams are getting hot.
I'm taking
the Rams.
Are you really?
Yeah. He's going to shock the Legion of Boom.
I'm going to take Seattle.
I got the Rams because Seattle's not great against the run, and Todd Gurley is really good right now. I think they run it all over him.
You have them then. The Ravens and the Raiders.
Both Ravens are terrible. I don't care if they lost their quarterback in Oakland. E.J. Manuel gets it done.
I think I could play quarterback for the Raiders and win that game.
Okay, so everybody's going Oakland.
Oh, you're scared, JP. You're not going to take the Ravens.
Well,
take
I'm picking the right team. What are you talking about?
Okay, for now, Tony, let's let him pick first.
I was in London. I saw the Ravens play. I'm not picking the Ravens. Are you crazy?
Yeah, make him pick first. He's terrible.
Who, me?
Yeah.
I'm not terrible. I'm in first place last you checked, guys. I got news for you.
Yeah, because you're cheating.
Because I'm terrible? No, because I'm good. Packers, Cowboys in Dallas.
JP.
Green Bay.
In Dallas?
Yes.
I'm taking Dallas.
Tony?
I'll go Dallas.
Mm-hmm. Sunday Night Football, the Chiefs and the Texans.
Where's it at?
In Houston.
Where are you taking?
Chiefs. Kansas City. They're hot right now.
I'm taking Houston.
You guys are going to go down so hard.
I'm going to take the Chiefs. I was going to go with Jeff, but I couldn't.
Come on now. Monday night, Vikings, Bears at the Midway.
The new quarterback for the Bears, huh?
Yeah.
And is that Chicago?
I'll take him at home. Bears at home.
Taking the Bears with
Mitch Trubisky. Here we go.
Who are you going with, Tony?
I got the Vikings.
Now, there's a question about who's going to play quarterback for the Vikings.
I don't care. I've seen the Bears. I'm taking the Vikings.
And you got the Bears, JP?
I do, yes.
I'm taking the Vikings.
Okay. And then, of course, the Jags and the Steelers in Pittsburgh. Here we go. This is the big one. The Jags at 2-2. The Steelers at 3-1. It's historically tough to go
you pick
to
first,
Pittsburgh.
Jeff. I mean, JP, you pick first.
The Jags have been inconsistent. They won the first game. They lost the second game. They won the third game. They lost the fourth game. They need to find some stability on offense.
You got a pattern there?
Steelers in this one. I'm taking the Steelers.
Taking the Steelers?
Yep.
Good. I'll take the Jaguars.
Okay.
I'm picking opposite of you because I'm gonna wear you out this week.
I'm sure you are. Tony?
You know what?
Use your head, not your heart.
I'm going with the Jags because we're going to put it on the Steelers and make JP. I hope they fire you after picking the Steelers.
This thing is a tough game. Tough matchup. Tough matchup.
It is a tough matchup, but...
It's a tough matchup
did
for?
You not
it's
hear
a tough
what
matchup for the Steelers.
Did you not hear us talking about Ben Roethlisberger?
Yes, I was here. I was in the conversation.
Well, then you could probably say, how about the conversation about Blake Porter?
I'm taking the Jags. You got to change a pick. I'm changing the pick.
No, you can't.
No.
Locks change
no.
it.
You can't.
Locks change
no.
it to
no,
New
can't.
England.
No.
He changed it to New England.
Change the pick. You only can change a pick if you're not in first place. A first place guy cannot change picks. It's a rule.
Fine.
I like
Steelers. Fine. Okay, fine. So, there you have it. Picks are in. Jags and the Steelers coming up Sunday.
What Tony said was echoing in JP's head. I hope they fire you. I hope they fire you.
I'm shook. He shook me.
It took a few minutes.
Whoa. That's aggressive.
JP was thinking about
you know,
that
I'm
going,
joking.
Do you think
JP,
they fire
I'm
me
joking.
For that?
I don't want you to. No, they can't fire you for that.
I don't know. You never know.
I would think about it, but I wouldn't do it.
Thanks, Tony. I appreciate it. Tony, have a fantastic call tonight in Tampa. Don't eat too much bananas, Foster.
I'm going to stay away from it. The waistline's starting to creep up there. We've got to stay away from the banana Fosters tonight.
I meant to. You are lying. Yeah, you are lying about that, Tony.
No, I'm not going in.
You're going in.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
You're weak. You're going to be weak.
Well, I am weak. I am weak, but I'm going to have discipline.
Good luck tonight.
All right.
Tony Vasselli. Westwood Waddy has the analysis work tonight for the Buccaneers and the New England Patriots. We'll look around.
Who did I pick in that game again?
Who, the Jags?
Patriots, right?
Oh, you picked the Patriots.
We need to start sending an email out with confirmation of all these picks because I don't believe your numbers. I think you're making this
up. I've got the records of every show if you want to go back and recount. Like, we know how to recount in Florida. You can recount the votes if you want.
Checking you.
This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Brendan Vaselli's out of here for Thursday Night Football. Let's go around the National Football League, and we start off with the game tonight. One little nugget dug up by NFL Media Research for tonight. Tampa is the only NFL city where Bill Belichick has never won a game. In fact, Belichick has never been involved in a game played in Tampa in 23 seasons as a head coach in the league.
He played Tampa, but it was in London.
Right.
So that's pretty neat. I mean, a coach that's been around that long, because it actually goes all the way back to his time as Cleveland Browns head coach
that's
as
right.
well.
Yeah.
And to go that many years coaching in the league to never have played a game at one place is
an oddity, I guess. Yeah.
Look, Cleveland's AFC team, Patriots an AFC team. The Bucks are an NFC team, and so you got to have kind of the right mix of how each division falls into place and the rotating years to have the matchup. So, but that is pretty interesting.
Weird is what it is. You think they'd play in a Super Bowl there or something, you know?
Who?
Patriots? You think they would have.
Well, they probably have, but not against the Bucks.
Right. Oh, no, in Tampa, in the city of Tampa.
Oh, it's in the whole city.
I think so, yeah. That's the way I understand it, yeah. In the actual city,
okay.
Yeah. Foxborough, Buffalo, they got all the cities and the states.
Okay.
Champaign, Illinois is on the list.
Yeah,
one
well, that's
time.
Where the Bears played while the Soldier Field
you know,
was being
Anaheim, the Rams in 93.
He also did.
So the city of Tampa, they've never played anything.
Yeah, he had another one, I think Memphis even, when the Titans were playing in Memphis or something for
maybe,
a short period
yeah.
of time.
Yeah.
He's won in a lot of places. You know, you've been around a lot as long as he has. You know, and speaking of that, the third winningest active head coach in the National Football League. Bill Belichick is number one. Mike McCarthy is number two. Mike Tomlin is number three, who the Jaguars will see this week.
Won a lot of games in Pittsburgh, and a sturdy ship there, too. They don't fire head coaches in Pittsburgh historically. Let's continue around the league. Cam Newton put his foot in his mouth yesterday in a press conference. Today, he lost his sponsor because of it.
A yogurt.
Dannon Yogurt said, "See you, Cam," after the comments made after a reporter asked about running routes. It happened to be a female reporter, and he joked that females asking about routes is kind of funny, and he laughed out loud, and it ain't that funny, Cam.
No, and not a very good job responding by the Carolina Panthers or Cam Newton on that. Now, Cam Newton has not responded in a public way, talking in front of cameras, et cetera. He like released a statement or something like that, you know, which, you know, some PR guy probably wrote up for him and they released it. But, you know, with the NFL where it's at right now with some of the people upset about the protest of with the national anthem, taking a knee and such, look, the league doesn't need stuff like this. I mean, this is – first of all, it's ridiculous that he would feel that way. It's ridiculous that he would say something like that. He's got to be smarter than that.
Yeah, that was far.
I mean, what's wrong with a woman asking about routes?
That's a great question, actually.
I mean, look, I mean, there's
the
a
question
lot of,
was about physicality and route running by his receivers.
I mean,
you know,
there's women that know a lot more about football than some men. I mean, what's the big deal with that? Why does he find that funny? I don't get it.
Yeah,
but anyway.
We mentioned it during the picks tonight, Mitchell Trubisky. They finally pulled the trigger and put the rookie in there for the Chicago Bears.
They had to.
You have to. Right?
I mean, they had to. I mean, look, JP, you know, as part of preparing for the Pittsburgh Steelers, I watched that Bears game. I watched part of one other game that the Bears had played. And Mike Glennon, and I said this before, he's not a good football player. And why they gave him all that money in free agency, I don't understand. Show me, and we talked about this, I think, last year, because we talked about it when he was in Tampa still. And I said at that time, I said, I don't see anything encouraging about Mike Glennon since he's been in the National Football League. The only positive thing I've ever heard about Mike Glennon was of how he was viewed coming out of college. But look, coming out of college was a long time ago. You got to start to be able to show something when you're at the National Football League level, and you're talking about a franchise that did not have Jameis Winston for a long period of time, and he essentially, they had no confidence in giving him an opportunity to be in the franchise quarterback there, which ought to tell you something.
Yeah.
The number of turnovers that he's had, terrible, ineffective, inaccurate, and Trubisky should be the guy, and now he is.
In Oakland, Derek Carr had a transverse process fracture in his back. That's the Tony Romo injury. But Jack,
well, there's a lot of people besides Tony Romo that
right,
have had that
but
injury.
But that's one of the most recent ones
right,
that people would know about.
Right.
Yes, I'm sure in the history of football and transverse process fractures that Tony Romo's not the only
no,
one.
No, he is
I get
not.
That. Thank
yeah,
you. But Jack Del Rio said it could be as short as 2 weeks, but Derek Carr was on the practice field today for the Raiders.
Dr. Del Rio has reported for duty. You know, hey, look, that's a tough thing to deal with. You know, look, Derek Carr, I'm sure, is going to get back when he's healthy and he's able. E.J. Manuel is going to be the quarterback in the meantime. And it's going to be – I'm going to be curious to see, you know, how E.J. Manuel does. Because E.J. Manuel has some really good weapons. You got Crabtree, Amari Cooper, good tight end and Cook. I mean, they've got some weapons now.
Yep.
And a really good offensive line and an offensive philosophy that believes in running the football. So it's going to be interesting to see how they function without Derek Carr and with E.J. Manuel at the helm with a lot of weapons that he can utilize.
All right, Jags, Steelers, our final thoughts about this Sunday's game at Heinz Field, Pittsburgh. It's a Steelers team. They're 3-1, but they've had a lot of things going on. They had the anthem stuff happen a few weeks ago, and then they've had the Antonio Brown stuff this week with the Gatorade cooler.
Which, by the way, I'm going to show that play on Film Room Friday tomorrow on Jaguars.com to show everybody why Antonio Brown was so upset.
It's interesting. It really is. But it's through all of that, they're 3-1. They're always in the hunt in the AFC.
Why is it that certain franchises win? And when I say win, I'm talking consistently.
Find a way somehow. You
find
know?
Ways right. to win year in and year out. And here's one of the reasons why. The Pittsburgh Steelers have done, for the most part, a very good job of drafting. They found a franchise quarterback back in 2004. And when you have a franchise quarterback, it means you don't have to keep looking for one. And it gives you the luxury of drafting other players, playmakers, et cetera. And the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, historically have done better than most teams when it comes to the draft. And they're not a team or organization that dabbles a lot in free agency. They build their team through the draft. I mean, look at their linebackers. 3 out of 4 of them are first-round draft picks by them. Two of their defensive linemen, Stephon Tuitt, Cameron Hayward, high draft picks. I think Tuitt was a second-round pick. Mm-hmm. I think Cameron Hayward was a first-round pick. One corner, starting corner, is a first-round pick from last year, the kid from Miami. The other one is Joe Hayden, who they signed as a free agent because the Browns cut him, and they got him, I think, August 30th, and were able to get him off of the street with no penalty for signing him. Their safety's a draft pick. Their offensive linemen, for the most part, they haven't spent a ton of draft picks on the offensive line, but David DeCastro is a first-round pick, I think, back in 2012. You know, Antonio Brown's a draft pick. Martavis Bryant's a draft pick. I mean, that's good teams draft well, and good teams have a franchise quarterback, and that's why they've been successful. And the expectation year in and year out is for them to win.
This is a good test for this Jaguars team. Doug Marrone said it earlier tonight. He's excited to go see how this team stands
sure.
and go see against a 3-1 team on the road.
Look, if the Jaguars play like they did against Houston, which is in that game I called them a semi-functional offense. If they play like they did against Baltimore with a more than functional, semi-functional offense, they can beat this Pittsburgh Steelers team. And they will. Because I predicted
you predicted.
I picked the Jaguars.
You did, indeed.
Yeah.
We'll see. Sunday, 1 o'clock.
I'm not locking it, though.
It's not a lock.
No, I don't lock it.
Buscelli didn't lock it either.
I don't lock it.
Okay, fair enough. For Tony Buscelli, Max Hockman on Jaguars.com, Joe Fortunato. For Jeff Loggeman, I'm JP Shadrick. Jags Steelers coming up Sunday. It's Jaguars Thursday. There he is on .com. Jeff Loggeman. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.